Jordan City Council meeting for February 3rd. We would like to excuse the mayor who had some prior commitments tonight. And I need a motion from our council members for mayor pro tem tonight. Technically, it is my turn in the rotation, but if anyone else would like to step up, you're more than welcome to. But is there a motion for mayor pro tem?
I will move to approve Jason McGuire as the mayor pro tem for tonight.
You have second. A motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We'll start tonight's meeting with an invocation by council member Kathy Johnson.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we're able to meet this day. Grateful that we have the privilege and opportunity to speak as citizens and elected officials about the issues of the city, that we have the freedom to voice our concerns and to try to make our communities safe and have that freedom to speak out when things are not the way they should be. We're grateful for all those who came before us, who had the foresight and the understanding of how government works and have laid this foundation for us. We ask thee to bless us that we will always stay true to it, that we will be guided by thy spirit, that we will listen to those who come to speak with us, that they may feel the respect and love that we have for this community. We ask thee to be with us now and for all of those who work and serve in this community, that they may be protected and inspired to do those things which will lead and guide them. And this we pray for in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance by our Assistant City Manager, Don Tingey.
Will the audience please stand and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated.
Before we go any further, I'd actually like to ask the council if we can have a motion to amend the agenda. I would like to move the presentation item G1, Harriman High Chinese New Year celebration, just above item F for public comment, just so the students are able to get home. It is a school night and allow them, yeah. Can I get a motion for that?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
That brings us to item D, minute approval for our January 6, 2026 City Council study meeting and our January 6, 2026 City Council meeting. Are there any amendments for the agenda? If not, I'll take a motion to approve those minutes.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, I'll move that we approve the January 6th Council Study Meeting and the January 6th City Council Meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That brings us to item E, Mayor and Council Reports. Is there anyone that has anything that they would like to report on since our last City Council meeting? I know many of us have been involved with the Legislative Policy Committee, keeping track of what's going on in the state legislature as they're in session, being aware of any changes that may impact cities, our ability to self-govern, or the ability for property taxes, all those type things that are being addressed at the state legislature, and we're doing our best to stay on top of those. Does anyone have anything specific?
I do have something. This is kind of on the light side, if I could. On Tuesday, the Salt Lake Board of Realtors here in the Wasatch Front had the opportunity to a basketball tournament. Yes. It's quite hilarious. They had a team that was elected officials, and they had a team that was the government affairs committee from the Salt Lake Board, and then they had three brokerages. So our brokerage played against all of these teams, and the final game was between Xander Real Estate and the elected officials.
Oh.
And we won. Just had to say. But it was delightful to see that they brought all these people together, and the government affairs and the elected officials represented so well. It was a great interaction between people in a fun tournament. So that's all I have to report.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Okay. Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, several of us attended the local officials' day put on by the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and it was nice to be there with members of our youth council. Got to meet a few of those folks, and I know some of you did as well, and got to listen to different officials from the state speak, including the governor, and I thought it was a lovely time.
So. Yeah, it was great. All right, there's no other comments. We'll move on to the Harriman High Chinese New Year celebration. Ask Ms. Chen, would you like to get things started?
Yes. Thank you. like to begin by introducing ourselves. 你好，我是百里亚，我是十二年级的学生，我从一年级到十二年级学习中文。 Hello, I'm Rebecca Brinton. I'm in 12th grade, and I've been studying Chinese from 1st grade to 12th grade.
我叫韩诺亚，我是在山河中学和我学习中文九年。
My name is Noah Hansen, and I go to Mountain Creek Middle School and have been learning Chinese for 9 years.
This lion called Shizi in Chinese is believed to bring good fortune and prosperity throughout the year. We would like to invite you to this event. It's for the involved schools are Mountain Creek Middle School and Harriman High School and East Lake Elementary School. Students who have been learning all Chinese, the language and culture from grades 1 to 12, and all the way through college will be present to share their learning of the languages and culture in various activities and performances.
This event is presented by Jordan School District students and hosted by Harriman High. Please join us Thursday, February 5th, 2026 at Harriman High School from 4:30 to 7 p.m. for our annual student-led authentic celebration. Everyone is welcome. May have permission to approach Mayor and hand out some invitations.
Yes, you may. Just while he's handing out those invitations, I just personally want to encourage everyone to attend this event. I had three children who are involved in the Chinese dual language immersion program. My oldest is off to college now, but a lot of hard work goes into this event by these students. You guys do a fabulous job every year. And personally want to say thank you to Ms. Chen for making this happen, Mr. Liu, Piper Wise, Shirley Lim. They are all very involved in providing this wonderful opportunity for the students of the Jordan School District. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing us to come here and present and give you just a taste of what it will be like on Thursday. We hope to see you guys there. And we will end this with a traditional greeting heard at this time of this year, Gong Xi Gong Xi Xi Nian Kuai Le, which means congratulations, congratulations, and Happy New Year. Thank you. Xie xie.
Thank you. And even though the mayor's not here, I'd still like to do our traditional group photo with the students. So, Council, if you'll go down for the photo. By a dragon. Or a lion.
Where do you want this?
Can they kneel down?
They can like kneel.
There
we go.
Cole, can you kneel?
Just go on your knees. It's so much easier. He's like squatting. He's like
that. Cole, can you come this way? Yeah. And then Joaquin too.
Don't leave Joaquin.
Don't leave your behind.
We're gonna have to layer in. You guys on the edge have to come either.
Come in like in front of me. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, can we have the student to remove that lion head?
So we know who's actually there.
Joaquin,
come on over.
Jacob could never be part of that. That's crazy.
I mean, the other one's great.
Thank you, students, so much.
Thank you.
You guys did a great job. You guys really did a great job. I know getting in front of everyone can be nervous, but you presented well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Content creation. But we're going to have
thank you so much.
Thanks for having us here.
We'll see you Thursday.
Thank you so much.
See you all Thursday. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe next year Jacob will be here.
I guess now that the fun part of the meeting is over, we can focus more on the work of the city. But I always appreciate the students coming to notify us of the Chinese New Year celebration. We'll proceed now with public comment. This is a time for anyone in the public to come on up and to address the council. You'll be given 3 minutes. This is not a time where we go back and forth in dialogue, but it's an opportunity for anyone who's here to let us know of any concerns you have or things that you're grateful for in our city. And we just ask that as you come forward that you do so in a manner of civility and respect, and we will show the same to you. So if there's anyone here, I'll open up the public comment period. All right, looks like there's no public comment. We'll go ahead and close the public comment portion of the meeting. And we'll move forward to our first public hearing item, Resolution R-2026-04. We'll first hear from our city manager, Dustin Lewis, and then we'll open it up for the public hearing.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Tonight you have before you a resolution regarding the city's purchasing policy. You might recall this probably looks very familiar to you. I'm not sure you want to turn yours right there. If you remember, the last time that we made any changes to this was back in 2022. The changes that you'll see tonight, they were provided to you in your packet. Most of these are just some clerical things that make some clarifications and updates to the policy. I'll quickly just walk you through those. If you have any questions, please stop and I'll give them a little bit more explanation. On page 3 of the policy, under the definition of the purchasing officer, that is our CFO. As we have learned recently, it's good to, if he's unavailable, to have an option to have a designee. And so we've cleaned that up in the policy to include the CFO or a designee, which he could designate if he or she were unavailable. On page 7 of the policy, you'll see some changes to the numbers. Those were actually intended to be made in 2022, and they were inadvertently left out. And so we've been operating on the old numbers this whole time, and we'd like to get that corrected. So you'll see that the definition of small purchases has changed to be from $0 to $9,999.99, and purchases then between $10,000 and $49,999.99 are now, there's that difference there. The smaller purchases have been clarified. If you look over on page 11, there's a change. We removed the words office of the and just left it with the city attorney. This is so that we ensure that people who have questions about a vendor or a portion of the policy are actually speaking to the city attorney and not to just somebody in the office of the city attorney. This is just for clarity and consistency. And so that change was made. On page 13, We have clarified how we define quotes and that process for obtaining quotes when we need to request quotes, that we ensure that we get quotes in the proper manner and in the proper number in order to qualify for the policy. And this, again, is just a clarification so that there's no question as to what's been intended there. On page 17, we changed the terms selection committee to be project manager. Again, this is just for clarity and to ensure consistency that the policy is followed. Page 18, you'll see that we've clarified and just reorganized the policy there a little bit. That's the section that deals with if a vendor actually has lower prices to offer to the city than what's on the state contract. This allows us to enter into that and get an even better price on the goods or services than we would have got if we'd have gone with the state contract price. Again, ensuring that the city gets the best deal possible. Page 19, under insufficient response, we also included their informal quote into the verbiage to keep it consistent with the rest of the policy. Two things that I did want to point out on page 22, under the miscellaneous, go back, I want to make sure that I say that right. City Attorney Luce, what's the correct term? The non-competitive purchasing process. We made it so that department directors shall submit the documentation, not should, so there's no question there. On letter E on page 22, we also included leases as one of the items that would qualify under this. And then there were two new things that were added. On page 23, letters R and S. The first one, letter R, is to allow the city to solicit competitive bids from the pre-approved contractors on UDOT's list to do work on stop lights and semaphore signals. This is, again, for efficiency and knowing that we'll get the best prices if we use those contractors. And then the second one that was changed there was for medical services. This is so that we can have the appropriate medical oversight to our EMS program. As our city attorney said to me, it's good not to have the low bid, but to have a competent medical professional that is in tune with the programming that we do for our residents. And so we provide for that exemption. A couple other cleanups there on page 23 with the word purchase order. And then on page 25, again, this is to deal with extension of contracts, to clean up some verbiage there to make it very clear that if a contract ends and we don't have another one in place, this does give us a very brief window to extend that only until the new contract can be put in. It doesn't continue the contract, simply gives us coverage while we finish the procurement of a new contract. So those are the changes that we're bringing forward tonight. I will mention that this has been a very detailed process. CFO Sunil Naidu and I sat down with all of the department directors. We walked through the policy page by page. We asked them to share with us any questions that they had about interpretation, if there were any changes that needed to be made to help with efficiency, to ensure that we were always getting the best prices when we did things. All of the department directors and their teams had a chance to weigh in, review all of the changes. They are in agreement that this is what we need to continue to move the city forward with our purchasing policies. So with that, I would turn it back to you, Mayor Pro Tem, to open it up for a public hearing, and then I'll answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Luce. We'll open up the public hearing for Resolution R-2026-04, adopting citywide policy 210-01, purchasing policy. Is there anyone here that would like to speak to this item? All right. Seeing no one, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And we'll turn it now to city council members for any questions, comments for staff.
I appreciate the work that went into updating this and just making it more efficient, making sure everybody's clear on how purchases are made. I know there's lots of departments and lots of different folks would be involved in purchasing different items, and I appreciate the effort to make sure the city's operating in an efficient way and also operating in a way to get the best value for the residents. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Thanks to the team. They did a great job with this.
For sure.
All right. With that, I'll ask, is there a motion for resolution R2026-04?
Mayor Pro Tem, I'll move to approve resolution R2026-04 as stated.
All right, we have a motion to approve the resolution. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Let's see, this one is a roll call vote, so we'll turn it over to Ms. Crookston for that vote.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem McGuire?
Yes. All right, that passes. We'll move on now to ordinance 2026-03, amending chapter 16.36.090 for monument signs, and let's see, 17.60.020 development and design standards in the C-N zone, 17.72.080 PC zone plan, and 17.130.130.030 prohibition in the ADU floating zone of the South Jordan Municipal Code to clarify development standards. And for this, we'll turn it over to our long-range planner, Joe Moss.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Apologies for the very long title. There is kind of a little grab bag of a couple of different things in the code that we were hoping to address sooner than later. The first of those is our monument sign ordinance. Currently, it stipulates that height is measured from the sidewalk. It does allow for, it specifically states that you can put those monument signs on a berm or some other kind of elevation thing, but the height was still being measured from the sidewalk. And I think traditionally how we've been interpreting that is to allow for the maximum 6 foot height, even if it were off of the side, you know, raised up off the sidewalk. So we've just made that clear in the code. There's some illustrations. This particular graphic is actually in the code. So it clearly defines that you're limited to that maximum 6 feet height on an upslope and kind of where that's being measured from. And then if you're on a downslope or level with the sidewalk, then you're just being measured from that sidewalk height like you are currently. The next one is talking about our CN zone. It does stipulate that it shall have a pitched roof in the CN zone, but it doesn't necessarily discuss how much of that roof should be pitched. So there's been some kind of varying levels of where that has been interpreted in the past. And so for consistency's sake, we thought it was best to introduce a number somewhere in the code to give an idea of how much that roof should be pitched. So it's at 75%. And the intent is to, you know, if you do have the part where it's flat roofed, where maybe there's some air equipment or something up on the roof, that is shielded from the right-of-way and surrounding residential properties with the pitched roof. And it does allow for some dormer type features up to 10%. I'm thinking of Chic Boutique recently opened, and that had some dormers that were not necessarily pitched, but it kind of, you know, fits with that pitched roof look. The next change is in our PC zone. This is just eliminating some outdated language. It refers to an old general plan that hasn't been in place for a while, and some paper copies that we don't take as part of the submittal anymore. So it's just requiring all that information just be included in the submittal, but we're getting rid of the outdated references. And then the final change is in our ADU ordinance. Currently, we just have some language that says that the ADU entrance can't be visible from the right-of-way. Typically how that's been interpreted is it can't be on like the front facade, or if you're on this corner, it couldn't be on that corner. This illustration is not in the code amendment proposed, but I just put it in here for illustration purposes. If you have an ADU entrance that's on the side of your house, you know, often we see that particularly with basement ADUs where there might be a staircase or something going down. if you're standing in between the lot, you know, kind of around the lot line, you may be able to see that ADU entrance, but it's not necessarily something we were looking to prohibit. So we were just trying to clean that up to clarify that we're okay in that situation to have an ADU entrance there, but I mean, if it were on the corner or something where it was more visible, that's not what we were looking for. But that's the end of my presentation. I'll answer any questions after the hearing.
Thank you. We'll now open up the public hearing for Ordinance 2026-03. Is there anyone here that would like to speak to the board? All right, looks like there's no one here to speak for the public hearing. We'll turn it to the council. Any questions or comments for staff? Yes, Councilwoman Zander.
Mr. Moss, if you don't mind.
Is your mic on?
Oh, I turned it off. Mr. Moss, do you mind pulling up your pictures again? I have two questions. Number one is on the monument signs. Are there any monument signs in our city that you're aware of that are near that 6-foot height?
I'm not sure what has been done with the overall monument signs. It's not something I particularly administer. But I do know that occasionally those permits come in and the height is, I mean, the 6-foot height is still the same as what it's always been. It's just kind of...
This is clarifying how we measure it.
It's just clarifying how we measure it. And so it's going to be, you know, if it is on a hill, it allows them to have that full 6-foot height, which is, I believe, how we've been traditionally interpreting the code. I just wanted to make sure that that was explicitly clear in our code.
So the height hasn't varied, it's just how we're measuring.
That's right.
Perfect, thank you. My other question then is about the ADU entrances. Excuse me. So I would agree that if somebody has an ADU on a corner lot and there's a stairway going down to it, I would think that the city should not prohibit that. But you said we wouldn't, but does the wordage protect someone so that they can do that? Like, I don't want there to be a gray area of you saying, hey, we're not gonna step in and be arduous about that, but yet somebody else in your path later on could be. Like, help me understand, do we need to clean this up and be clear that we would allow for that? So
yeah.
We're not overreaching as the government in people's lives?
No, basically we're just trying to clarify what the existing requirement is. Typically what I said, we've been interpreting is that ADU entrance is generally not on the front of the house. Mm-hmm. And if you're on a corner, then it wouldn't be allowed on that corner either. So this maintains the prohibition of the side entrance on a corner like that. But it does allow for it. So say if you're an interior lot, you could have that side ADU entrance,
okay,
which is something that we do commonly see.
So you can have a basement entrance on a corner lot, just not on the exterior side.
Just not on the side facing the street.
Facing the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you wanted to put it on the opposite side, so in this graphic, if it were on the side facing the other house from that corner lot, that would be okay. It's just not on the side where there's another street.
What would happen, if I could ask you, I'm not even trying to be difficult, I'm just curious. I like the idea for people to have flexibility on their property. I'm a big fan of property rights. So if a resident in our city said, hey, I really want to do an ADU, it doesn't make sense to put the stairway on this side because there's cold storage or whatever, but I have a window well on this side and it makes perfect sense to do a basement entrance. What would the city do in that case? Would we just say no way because we have an ordinance?
Well, yeah, the current ordinance reads that they can't have it on facing visible from a right-of-way at all.
Okay.
So this is really just trying to give a little bit more flexibility so that there is, you know, if it's in between houses or something, if it's on the side entrance, even though you may be able to see it in very limited viewpoints from the street, we just wanted that to be clear that we're okay in those situations. We're just not looking to have it on the front or the side of the house that's facing a street.
Perfect, thanks for explaining. I guess Mayor Pro Tem, what I would float for the council to consider is maybe more flexible wordage, and maybe nobody supports this. I would like a homeowner to have the option to come and petition and say, I'll put landscaping, I'll put trees, I'll put bushes so that nobody sees that entrance to my basement. But if I'm in a home and I'm a retired person and I have a basement and I need to get some additional income to stay in my home, I would be sick if they came in and we turned them down because their entrance needed to be on the side that happened to be on the road. I think we should open this up and be more flexible so that we can do case by case. I know as staff, you'd like clear-cut guardrails. It makes your life easier. I would like to have more variance, more flexibility. Is anybody else on the council open to that?
So you're talking about putting an additional entrance on the front of the house?
Not the front. No, I don't. I'm not in favor of that. But you see this picture, how on the right they have a side entrance and it's a corner lot?
Yeah.
That they would ban that. They would never allow that. So if I'm a corner lot and I want to put an ADU in my basement to help me out financially, and I'm not self-serving in this, this is no way near what Tamara's doing, but if I have a basement that I need to access from one side of my house because of the way it's configured, if I'm trying to access my basement from the side that's on the street, the city would prohibit that. I'm proposing as a council that we make this wordage more flexible. I don't know what the wordage should be. I would lean on Mr. Luce if everybody's in favor of opening that up. I just don't want to see the residents needing that option. And just because the place, the window well where it makes sense to cut the cement to put a basement entrance is on the side of the street, that we say no. I think it should say, in the event that you need a basement entrance on the side that's facing the street, I'm not saying the front of the house, I'm just saying the side of the house. I in no way am supporting the front. You could put trees up or bushes so it's not this ugly cement stairway down, but we have a facade or something attractive there. Does anybody else support that thought?
Just a clarifying point. Mm-hmm. You are referring, though, only to doing like a basement entrance, mm-hmm. not something with a staircase as right. shown.
No, just a basement entrance. Because I think a large number of our residents are aging, and they're in large lots, large homes. And to help them stay in their homes and not have to sell and move into assisted living, they sometimes need someone in the basement. I mean, let's think this through. I don't want to handcuff that resident because basements don't always have the configuration that allow for a basement entrance to come on either side. Maybe one side is the only one that makes sense. If I were to look at my house, there's only one side of my house I could have put a basement entrance into. Lucky for me, if I ever did that, it's between me and my neighbor. It wouldn't be the outside. So we're prohibiting the outside. I'm just saying I'm not comfortable with prohibiting that. I would like a resident to have the option. And if they chose that option of a basement entrance on the outside of their home, not the front, but the side, that we ask for landscaping or something to kind of help make it a soft look, but we allow for that in our city. Does that help make sense what I'm trying to say?
That does help clarify.
Mayor Pro Tem, may I ask Mr. Moss a question?
Yes.
Currently, would we allow that side entrance on the roadside if it was fence and screened off? So say they had a fence along the front line of the house, which we allow, a 6-foot fence that goes out to the roadside and then back and behind a gate in the fence, just like every fence has a gate, there's the basement entrance. We wouldn't allow that currently because of the way our code is written, even though you can't see it. It might.
Correct, yeah. Currently it stipulates that it cannot be visible even, from
even
the
if it's completely fenced off.
I mean, if it's in a situation where it's completely fenced off, then that's arguable if it's
That's why I'm asking how we were doing the enforcement. So that's my question, because you mentioned screening of bushes, trees, and other things. Fences are common in these situations too. And I just don't know how we've been interpreting it from if it's visible or not. If it's not visible, it's a 6-foot solid fence. You know, one of those that complies vinyl or wood, you can't see through it. Would we allow that as you guys are interpreting it now or under this new? Just so I can answer Ms. Sanders' question when she said that I could help with language.
Thank you.
Well, so the way this is worded here, it says that the elevation facing the primary street frontage or a side elevation that faces the street or of a corner lot.
Yeah.
Would be prohibited from having that ADU entrance.
Does our current one allow it though?
The current one just says if it's it cannot be visible from the street.
So it sounds like there's an argument now that you could do it on that corner lot if it was completely screened off by a fence. At least an argument. I don't know how it's been administered. whereas the new language would not allow it at all. If that answers your question,
Sandra. That answers my question, and that's why I'm not comfortable with this.
I have a question. So you said our current code wouldn't allow it. Does the Daybreak community have its own special exemption to that? Because there are many homes that were built by the builders with those ADU entrances that are visible from the sides.
Yes,
on
so
Main Street.
Daybreak has their own architectural requirements, and if they are coming to us for an ADU permit, from my understanding, there's only very limited circumstances where the, you know, like a city sanctioned ADU would be permissible, largely above garages. Detached garages is, to my knowledge, the only place that those are allowed in Daybreak. And so we have very few in Daybreak because of that, as far as permitted ADUs. The vast majority of these are outside of Daybreak in other neighborhoods.
And from the perspective of what Daybreak is a master plan community with its own master development agreement with, as Mr. Moss said, adopted and agreed upon architectural guidelines, and there's a whole big matrix, yeah, and it gets really down in the weeds. But essentially, if it's permitted by that, so when people want to do an ADU in Daybreak, a legal ADU, there are some that are not legally permitted that we know about. But if people want to do one of those, they then take those guidelines to the HOA. Once approved there, then they bring it to us, and we review and permit. And as Mr. Moss said, the only ones allowed are detached ADUs above garage in certain size lots and specifics. So this wouldn't affect the Daybreak entitlements at all.
Council Member Harris.
Yeah, and so Mr. Luce, as you're talking about, you know, visibility, you know, maybe with a fence. What I'm wondering is, as we have future builders, you know, in our city, even future, even stuff that's not being built right now, that we know that there's people that want to have ADUs. You know, the builder isn't the one that always puts up the fence. Oftentimes, it's the individual after they purchase a home ends up putting up the fence, and so. What would the situation be in that with that, where if a builder built a home with an ADU, but did not build it with a fence, would they be out of compliance until, you know, and I'm talking outside the Daybreak area, you know, would they be out of compliance in a situation like that?
So an ADU by definition means an accessory dwelling unit. It's not that it's built to be an accessory dwelling unit. So if the builder builds it as a separate apartment, but it's still connected through the house, we don't know how they're using it.
Yeah.
Residents need to come in to get an ADU. Do we call it a permit?
Yes.
Yeah, a permit. And when they do that, then we run them through and we say, are you intending to rent this out? And they say yes. Then we say, if you had the visible requirement like we do today, we'd say, is it visible from there? And if it's not, that's why he's asking how we administer it, we'd grant it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the visibility part.
So under the current rule, not what they're proposing, if they said it's not visible, show us pictures of the fence. If they was visible, we'd say you can't do it until it's not visible. And then however they remove the visibility, if they put up a fence, if they put up other screening, then arguably it would comply.
So if a builder intentionally, I mean, they as planned, they built a home with an ADU, then whoever bought that, before they could actually use it as an ADU, they would have to go in there and potentially put up a fence if it's visible.
Yeah. Now, they could still use their house with a door on that side as long as they didn't use it as an ADU.
So because it's legal if it's not being rented?
But they could still make it problematic.
Well, there's houses with doors on the side,
yeah,
and entrances and stuff that, if it's not an ADU, we don't regulate that.
Yeah, but the hard
fact is we can't from a design standard. They removed that 3 years ago.
The hard part though is, you know, it could still be visible, but if no one's living there, it's not. The issue isn't about when I read this, the issue is not about people living there or not. It's just like, hey, it appears to be, you know, from maybe your perspective that it doesn't look right or just doesn't fit in the city well by having that visibility. So you want to close it. So it's more of this, the staircase that's having an issue, but it just seems to me that we need to have some flexibility here.
Mr. Priest.
I think the original intent some time ago when all this was written was to not have houses looking like duplexes. Personally, I wouldn't have a problem if we added to that, you know, on the corner lot, unless screened by a 6-foot side obscuring fence or something like that. I think that would be fine, personally.
Just a minute, Councilman Johnson.
The one problem I have with it, having it on two busy streets with that entrance on the secondary street or secondary part of the house, is I know of one right now, and I know it's rented, is that the people also park. It's on a corner of 20.
Parking close to the corner.
There. Yeah, they park close to the corner, and so you have this parking issue going on too, even though it's public, but that is also a concern with it being on the side like that on a street. Just something to take into consideration.
Councilwoman Sandra, did you have another?
So I would move to strike.
Are you making a motion?
I'm making a motion. Okay. I'm making a motion that in ordinance 2026-03, we strike the 17.130.130.030 and ask staff to go back and relook at this and bring it back to us, considering that we know we have people in our community doing this. I'm not comfortable, and I'll vote no to the whole thing because I'm so uncomfortable with this. So if everyone's in favor of that, I would strike this portion from this ordinance and ask staff to go bring it back to us, hearing the feedback that you've heard. And I think we can dial this in and get it right. I have total confidence we can do that without us overstepping and making a rule that people are going to come back and say, let's unravel that.
Is there a second to Councilmember Zander's motion?
So do you want to
the rest of it?
Yes, I want to approve everything. Your motion to approve everything else.
Thank you. I would move to approve ordinance 2026-03, striking section.
It's on your screen.
17.130.030.030 from the ordinance. Ask staff to go revisit it and come back with another alternative option, maybe some more flexibility. But we can discuss that at a later date because I think this one's a sticking point, and I would suggest the rest sounds good to me, and I propose that we pass, am I saying this right?
Yes.
Okay.
You're getting there.
Blah, blah, blah.
To simplify.
Yes, please.
My understanding is Councilmember Zander made a motion to approve ordinance 2026-03 with the exception of the 17.130.130.030.
Yes, and asking staff to come back with that. Thank you, Mr. Luce, for clarifying. That's my motion.
Is there a second to Councilmember Zander's motion? All right. We have a motion, a second. That leads us to a roll call vote.
Can we have discussion?
Oh, sorry.
Yes, discussion. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and as we go back and look at that, I'd really pay attention to how builders are actually building these things, you know, and what we're forecasting to see, kind of look what's, you know, I know Daybreak's have some examples. I know we're not talking about the Daybreak area, but let's just make sure that whatever adjustments we're making are aligned with what we're expecting to see in the future with these ADUs.
But on the flip side, isn't it the responsibility of the builder to know what the rules are on the houses that they build in an area? I mean, isn't it that their job to know the legislation?
No, that is the job of the builders, but I think what Council Member Harris is getting at, and feel free to jump in, is that let's look before thinking in what we're having the ordinance be so those builders can then build accordingly. But if we're looking and saying, you know, this just really isn't realistic or there's no real justification to, you know, go against having that entrance. Because if for me personally, I look at it and I see, you know, there's an entrance there regardless of if it's being rented or not. So what difference does it really make if it's being rented?
Well,
that entrance should be able to be used for whatever purpose that homeowner decides. And if it's because they have an ADU, I don't see where it interferes with anything. Council Member Harris, did you have
something? Yeah, and I just think that right now, I mean, as they're building, you know, brand new structures, there's you know, there's the new, you know, designs and what the public is wanting. You know, they're building these things based on demand. The buyers. Yeah, the demand is out there. And what I wouldn't want to do is have us create something in there that is against what the current demand is, what the styles that people like. You know, so I just want to pay attention to that. So that's all I'm saying.
Any other comments before we ask for the roll call vote?
If I could say one more thing. Thank you, Mr. Moss. I think there's two parts here, in my opinion. There's the new build, and then there's the existing. And if there's a person sitting in a 1980s home in Councilmember Johnson's district that wants to put an ADU in her basement, I'd want to be flexible enough as a city to allow that person to do it, right? That's my opinion. So I think there's the old existing homes and then there's the new build, and we want to make sure that we're legislating or putting together the ordinance in accordance to both parties, is my thought. Thank you.
All right. If there's no other comments, we'll turn it to Ms. Crookston for the roll call vote.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem McGuire.
Yes. All right, that passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you for the work that's gone into that, and we look forward to what you're able to bring back, Mr. Moss. All right, that brings us to item I, staff reports and calendaring items. We'll turn it over to Mr. Lewis to start us off.
Thank you. Just a couple of quick things. First, I'm going to turn to Director Brad Clavenaugh, who wants to give you a really exciting update on a project.
So I was notified today that U-111, the new realignment of U-111 off Bacchus Highway, will start next week. Originally, they were going to only do one lane in each direction. I talked them into doing the three lanes, basically with the turn lane down the middle. And then at your direction, last year sometime, I asked them in the bidding if they could do an alternative to do the five lanes so we could see what the costs are and go back to the legislature if we needed to. They didn't want to do that, or they don't do that with UDOT, but they said, oh, once we get the bids, we can figure the unit prices and see what it'd be. Well, their bids came in lower than expected or estimated. And then with some push from some different folks and here and in Harriman, they went and found some more money to add to that cost savings. So they're going to do the full five lane section in that new area now.
Go, Brad, go.
So essentially from South Jordan Parkway, well, the new road sections will break off Bacchus Highway at approximately South Jordan Parkway and go all the way down to Harriman Parkway. So most of it's in South Jordan, just a very little bit's in Harriman, the south end.
So where will the realignment start? Is it going to be on the north side? Or?
Well, so once you pass the landfill, you hit where South Jordan Parkway will hits Bacchus Highway or U-111. That's where the new alignment starts, essentially right there. And then it'll go directly in south instead of how Bacchus Highway kind of curves southwest, if you want to call it that. And this will go straight down through to Harriman Parkway and to Olympia. So they'll get started on that. It's probably a two construction season project. Won't be done probably till the fall of 27-ish.
Yes. We all know that Bangor Highway is named after Governor Bangor. Maybe this should be named Brad Clavenaugh.
Yeah.
Thoroughfare.
As long as it's not Memorial.
So, yeah, avoid Memorial.
I'd love to see your name on the side, Brad. Thank you for lobbying for us. That's a big deal.
No,
thank you.
There's a lot of people that, you know, put input to get it to the five lanes, but they're also working on a jurisdictional transfer from there north up to 7800 south. Because north of there, it's actually a state road, but from 78 down, it's not yet. So that may be coming to you sometime this year. We'll see. But.
Thank you.
Mr. Lewis.
Great. I also wanted to just check. You were invited tonight to attend that event at Harriman High School on Thursday. How many of you are planning to attend?
I will be there.
I see one, two, three. Great, that's enough. We'll make sure that we notice that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to remind you, you're all registered, I think, except for you, Councilmember Shelton, to attend the State of the Chamber of Commerce lunch on February 11th. So we look forward to having you. That's all been arranged for you. details are in your calendar. And then one final thing that I wanted to remind you of is as we make the transition in our new computer technology, we're going to attempt to use Teams to send you the next council packet for the February 17th meeting. So earlier today, we have set up that team and channel. So you'll see the packets and the agenda show up in Microsoft Teams now, which should make it a whole lot easier, especially when we have large file sizes that should all just show up there. You should be able to click on it, open it up, and have your packet digitally. So watch for that. If you have any problems as we make that transition, please let us know immediately, and we'll make sure that those get resolved so that you get all the information for the next meeting. And with that, that's all I have for you this evening. Thank you.
All right. Well, if there's no other staff comments, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mayor Pro Tem, I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.